Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
The future of permanent data storage is made of the same glass as your casserole dish.
That's not a metaphor.
It's not. Microsoft Research just published a paper in Nature describing a complete system for writing data into ordinary borosilicate glass, Pyrex, using femtosecond lasers. A palm-sized square of it holds nearly 5 terabytes. Their accelerated aging tests suggest the data survives for more than 10,000 years. The paper is called Laser Writing in Glass for Dense, Fast and Efficient Archival Data Storage. But the story of how we got here is 30 years long, spans 4 universities and 3 continents, touches a Nobel Prize, and ends with Microsoft publishing the blueprint and walking away.
Walking away?
We'll get there. Let's start at the beginning.
Chapter 1. The Starting Gun. In 1996, a physicist named Eric Mesure at Harvard demonstrated something that hadn't been done before. He used a femtosecond laser, a laser that emits pulses lasting just quadrillionths of a second, to inscribe permanent structures inside the bulk of a piece of glass, not on the surface, inside it. The pulse is so short and so intense that it creates a tiny structural change in a volume smaller than a millionth of a meter on each side. 1 voxel. A 3-dimensional pixel. And the key insight was that you could place these voxels at precisely controlled positions in 3 dimensions throughout the glass. You weren't writing on a surface anymore, you were writing in a volume.
To put the time scale in perspective, comparing 10 femtoseconds to a single minute is like comparing 1 minute to the entire age of the universe. These pulses are absurdly short. And that brevity is what makes the physics work. The pulse dumps its energy before the surrounding material has time to react, so only the focal point is affected.
Mazur's work opened the door, but the door sat mostly open for over a decade. Other groups explored it. In 2009, researchers at Swinburne University of Technology in Australia demonstrated the first 5-dimensional encoding. In 2010, Kazuyuki Hirao's lab at Kyoto University pushed the technique further. But the person who would define this field for the next 20 years was working in Southampton, England. Chapter 2. The Superman Crystal. Peter Kazansky is a Russian-born physicist who runs the Optoelectronics Research Center at the University of Southampton, starting in the early 2010s. His group developed what they call 5-dimensional data storage in fused quartz glass. The 5 dimensions are straightforward. 3 are spatial, the X, Y, and depth coordinates where you place each voxel. The other 2 are optical properties of the voxel itself. The orientation of a tiny nanostructure the laser creates, and its retardance, which is how strongly it bends polarized light passing through it. Each voxel encodes multiple bits, because the reader can distinguish several orientations and several retardance levels. It's not exotic higher dimensional physics, it's clever encoding.
In 2014, Kazansky published in Physical Review letters claiming data storage with a seemingly unlimited lifetime. That's the paper that made people pay attention. Fused quartz is extraordinarily stable. The voxels don't decay. They don't oxidize. Water doesn't touch them. Electromagnetic interference is irrelevant. The data is physically embedded in the molecular structure of the glass.
The press started calling them Superman memory crystals, after the Kryptonian memory crystals from the films. Kazansky leaned into it. In 2018, he stored Isaac Asimov's entire Foundation trilogy on a five-dimensional crystal and launched it into space aboard Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster as part of the Arch Mission Foundation. In 2024, he encoded the full 3 billion character human genome onto a coin-sized disk and deposited it in the Memory of Mankind archive, the world's oldest salt mine in Hallstatt, Austria.
That's a researcher who understands the power of demonstration. Storing the human genome in an Austrian salt mine is not a science experiment. It's a statement about what this technology is for.
And in 2024, Kazansky spun out a company, Sphotonics. They raised $4.5 million. They're already selling archival data storage as a service. You can order up to 1 terabyte written to quartz glass and stored in a Swiss vault.
A company commercializing academic research. That's the normal path, but there's a parallel track here.
Chapter 3. Enter Microsoft. Microsoft Research started Project Silica years ago, working on the same fundamental idea. Femtosecond laser writing in glass. They stored the entire Superman movie on a piece of quartz glass as a proof of concept. But their Nature paper, published last week, does something different from what Kazansky's group has done. They don't claim a new scientific breakthrough. What they present is a complete end-to-end system encoding, writing, reading, decoding, error correction, 4 parallel lasers writing simultaneously. A convolutional neural network reading the voxels back. Low-density parity check, error correction. The same codes used in 5G networks and 2 separate approaches to voxel writing, each with different trade-offs.
This is the engineering paper. Kazansky proved the physics. Microsoft built the machine.
The first approach uses birefringent voxels in high-purity fused silica. 2 laser pulses per voxel, creating oval-shaped nanostructures whose orientation encodes data. 301 layers in a 2 millimeter thick glass plate, 4.84 terabytes in a piece of glass the size of your palm, density of 1.59 gigabits per cubic millimeter. That's the headline number.
But fused silica is expensive, difficult to manufacture, available from only a handful of suppliers worldwide. You're not building a storage industry on a material with a constrained supply chain.
Which brings us to the real breakthrough. Chapter 4. The Pyrex Moment. The second system in the paper uses borosilicate glass. This is the material in Pyrex cookware, oven doors, laboratory beakers. It's manufactured at massive scale worldwide. It's cheap, and Microsoft figured out how to write data into it using a completely new type of voxel they invented. Phase. Voxels, instead of creating birefringent nanostructures that alter polarization, phase voxels simply change the local refractive index of the glass. 1 laser pulse per voxel. Simpler physics, simpler hardware, 1 camera to read instead of 3 or 4.
The trade-off is density. Borosilicate achieves 2.02 terabytes per plate at 0.678 gigabits per cubic millimeter. Roughly half the density of fused silica. But the cost and availability advantages are enormous. You've gone from a specialty material to something any glass manufacturer on the planet can produce.
And this is where it gets interesting from an industry perspective. The write speed with 4 parallel beams is about 66 megabits per second. The team's models suggest you could scale to 16 beams, roughly 263 megabits per second. That's still slower than a modern LTO tape drive, which writes at about 400 megabytes per second, but glass has properties tape never will.
No energy consumption at rest, no climate-controlled storage required, no migration every 10 to 15 years when the tape format goes obsolete, no demagnetization risk. You write once and walk away for 10,000 years.
For cold archival storage. Data you write once and read rarely. The economics could flip entirely. The total cost of ownership for tape includes not just the media, but the drives, the climate-controlled vaults, the ongoing migration labor, and the electricity to run it all for decades. Glass eliminates most of that. The question is whether the right speed and upfront hardware cost can come down enough to matter. Chapter 5. The Relay Race. What strikes me about this story is the shape of it. Eric Mazur at Harvard fires the starting gun in 1996. Swinburne and Kyoto carry the baton through the 2000s. Peter Kazansky at Southampton runs the longest leg. 20 years of relentless iteration, from proof of concept to storing the human genome in a salt mine. In 2023, the Nobel Prize in Physics goes to Krausch, Lullier, and Agostini for pioneering autosecond science. The physics that femtosecond lasers enable at even shorter timescales, the underlying science is validated at the highest level.
In parallel to all of this, academic groups in China are pushing the error correction side. A team at Shanghai Jiao Tong University published a paper on Archive last year, Error-Corrected Eternal Lifetime Storage, demonstrating 8-bit voxel encoding with Reed-Solomon error correction at 2.15 terabits per disk. They recorded The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in glass with error-free recovery. Different group, same goal. Making the readout reliable enough for production use.
So you have Harvard, Southampton, Kyoto, Swinburne, Shanghai Jiao Tong, and Microsoft Research all contributing pieces to the same puzzle across 3 decades. This is what fundamental research looks like when it works. No single group could have built the whole thing. The field needed Mazur's initial insight, Kazansky's 2 decades of materials science, the Nobel-validated physics, the Chinese error correction work, and Microsoft systems engineering.
And now it needs someone to build the factory.
Chapter 6. The Blueprint and the Walk Away. Here's the part that surprised me. Microsoft's blog post about the Nature paper includes this line. The research phase is now complete. They go on to say they've published the paper so that others can build on it. There is no product roadmap, no announced partnerships with glass manufacturers, no timeline for commercialization. Microsoft holds the intellectual property but has no announced plans to bring it to market.
That's an unusual move for a company that runs one of the 3 largest cloud platforms on the planet. Azure generates tens of billions in revenue. Cold archival storage is a real market, and they're publishing the recipe and stepping back?
There are a few ways to read it, the cynical view. The write speed bottleneck makes this uneconomical for Microsoft's scale. Writing 4.84 terabytes at 66 megabits per second takes over 150 hours per slab. For a hyperscaler generating exabytes of data, that's impractical. The generous view: Microsoft Research has always been more academic than product-focused, and publishing fundamental research is what they do. The strategic view: by publishing in Nature, they establish prior art, potentially complicating patent claims by competitors while keeping their own IP position intact.
And meanwhile, Soaptonix, the Southampton spin-out, is already selling the service. They're not waiting for Microsoft. They took 2 decades of Kazansky's academic work and went straight to market. It's a Swiss vault model, not a hyperscaler model. Store your most precious data in indestructible glass. Keep it in a mountain.
2 different visions. Microsoft imagined this as a cloud-scale technology. Replacing tape in Azure data centers. Soaptonix sees it as a premium archival service. The technology is the same. The business models are completely different. Chapter 7. What comes next? The bottleneck is write speed. Everything else about this technology is either solved or solvable. The glass is cheap. The readers work. The error correction is proven. The longevity is essentially permanent. But at 66 megabits per second with 4 beams. Even scaling to 16 beams at 263 megabits per second, you're still orders of magnitude slower than magnetic or solid-state media.
Which means glass storage is ROM for now. Write once, read forever. That's not a limitation for archival use. You don't rewrite your backups, but but it means glass won't replace tape for active cold storage where data is written frequently.
The other question is, who builds the right hardware? The femtosecond lasers exist, the parallel beam technology is demonstrated, but no one is manufacturing glass storage writers at scale. That's a capital-intensive manufacturing problem. The kind of problem that needs either a major corporation or significant venture funding to solve.
And the reader side is actually elegant. Phase contrast microscopy is well-understood technology. The CNN-based readout Microsoft demonstrated could run on commodity hardware. If the right problem gets solved, reading could be remarkably cheap.
Here's what I keep coming back to. We generate about 120 zettabytes of data per year globally. Most of it is stored on media that degrades within 2 decades. We are in a digital dark age by default. Future historians will have less access to our records than they have to medieval manuscripts written on parchment. Glass changes that equation. Not for all data, not for your selfies or your Slack messages, but for the things that matter. Scientific data sets, cultural archives, medical records, legal documents, the human genome. Glass offers something no other storage medium can, permanence.
A 30-year relay race from a Harvard lab to a Nature paper, from exotic quartz to kitchen glass, from a proof of concept to a blueprint anyone can build on.
The blueprint is published, the physics is Nobel validated, the cheap glass works. The question is no longer whether we can store data for 10,000 years, it's whether we choose to. That's our dispatch from the edge. Until next time.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Daily tech feed from the labs, tiny sparks turning into maps, archive pages in a gentle sway, tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.